And she had all the clothes at her house in her garage. That was huge service there. In her apartment. She's amazing. That was amazing service. And my name is Sheila. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm just very grateful to be here. And thank you, Pam, for asking me to help out. And, you know, I really struggle at big events like this. I really do. And it is essential when I come to something like this that I do service. Otherwise, I would just be in my room watching HBO the whole weekend. But I'm just very, very grateful because you are teaching me how to do that which I still struggle to do, which is to receive your love. I've always been really good at giving money, but it's really hard for me to give people a ride for, home for after a meeting or something, which is ironic because I needed a ride today, and I had to ask somebody for a ride. But you are teaching me how to receive love, and I do that by giving service, period. Thank you.
Me again, Michelle Compulsive Overeater. You had enough of me. You know, the reason I do service is because in the big book it says nothing ensures sobriety, such as intensive work with other alcoholics. And that's been my experience. You know, service, because I'm really tall. Service to others through as an expression of God, and also having, in the book it talks about having a constant thought of others because I have a constant thought of myself. And service gets me out of myself, and that's why I'm here, you know, for myself. this is how I stay connected with my higher power, which has been my most important relationship in my life. Thanks, everyone.
One more. Buenos días. Mi nombre es Socorro y soy una comedora compulsiva. Y Socorro means help, and this is why I like to help. It just gives me a lot of joy to be able to do my part. Y en español, estamos vendiendo boletos para la rifa, ¿verdad? The pot, I understand, is more than $1,000, and you get 55% of that. So they're only a dollar. For a dollar, you could get well over $500. So
Socorro was our Spanish-speaking chair, and I just have to say we started this event with one Spanish-speaking meeting. By the grace of God, we had an extra room, and I think Socorro had four or five more Spanish-speaking meetings. So my goal for this program is to reach out to the newcomer. And it appears 100 books later, we have reached out to a few newcomers. And four Spanish-speaking meetings, we've reached out to some people that haven't been as blessed before. So, yeah, let's give a big hand to everybody. Okay, we're going to have Jeff. Jeff's now going to introduce our closing speaker. And after that, we're going to do the prizes. So we already did, but you can do it again.
All right, one more time. Let's thank Pam. And I'm going to say what you're all thinking, which is that the birthday hat on top of the turban is a really good look on her, don't you think? All right. Anyway, again, we thank you all for being here. We're going to end the official part of the festivities with our closing speaker. And all I can really say about Tim is that he's my sponsor, so be nice to him. B, he has given me a new lease on life. I've had great sponsorship. Jack S. was my first sponsor. Tim is my current sponsor. And with sponsorship like that, I can't lose. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Tim C., who will be our closing speaker.
Hi, I'm Tim, compulsive overeater. Wow, what a great, I would have never thought to come to the birthday party. This is amazing. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you very much for the committee and everybody who volunteered their time here. What a wonderful program. Let's see. Just to qualify and get the numbers out of the way, I've been back from relapse 5.5 years, and I'm down 96 pounds. I came in to, I get 20 minutes, right? 20? You know, all my life I've felt, just different and alone. From a very young age, I always wanted something different, more than it was available to me. Food really helped. I didn't get into the addiction and cross the line until, when I was in college, but I was always a compulsive overeater. One of my earliest memories with food is, my mom would make a spaghetti and meatball sauce, and, I would go by the pan and take the meatballs out before anyone ate. And of course, when the food was served, everybody's looking like, where'd all the meatball go? And I don't know. But you know what? It never crossed my mind is that being wrong, you know? And it's only through this program that I was able to actually make the amends for that and go back to my brothers and sisters and let them know that, you know, I was a bully. And I would take their food. I had no problem. I was the oldest boy, and only my older sister would be the only one who could protect her food from me. And, like I said, I have one brother who was 1 year and one month younger than me. And, my godfather lined us up. We looked like twins. Everybody kept saying, "You guys are twins." "Well, no, we're a year apart." And, my uncle lined us up, and he was my godfather, and he meant the world to me. And he goes, "You know what?" He goes, "You're going to be short and chubby, and you're going to be tall and thin." And I was the one that got the short end of that stick. and sure enough, I fulfilled that, fulfilled my end of the deal. I was always obsessed with other people, what other people thought of me. And, again, I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up on a farm. We did a lot of work. So the weight was never a problem. We were always in sports or working. And, so I was always chunky, but I would make fun of other people. And, later in high school, I wrestled. So again, that made it really simple. And I actually liked the fact of starving myself. There was something about the physically starving myself that I felt that I accomplished not eating something for the day. You know, I don't know why that was, but I remember that feeling. But that was very short lived. And, but when I hit college is when the food really started calling. As the world got bigger and bigger, you know, I got more and more in fear. I really did not handle. I grew up, like I said, on the farm, very small school, but they kept getting bigger and bigger on me, and I just kept eating. And when the exercise stopped, the food just started. The food took care of all those problems. All that I feel different. I feel alone. It always took care of them, but I was always able to maintain. There was no. It wasn't a problem, you know. When college, I gained some weight, and then it was work that took the weight off. It was the first obsession. It was actually getting back in school. My first 2 years in school, a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol. But they kind of stopped working in my 20s. So I'm not really an alcoholic, but they just kind of didn't work, for too long. And, but food did work. And, I got back into school. And, I lost like 30 pounds. I remember that, because I was obsessing about getting back into school and doing good in class. And so that was that current obsession. When I got out of school, you know, I kind of maintained the weight, but the weight started going up. Once the change happened, I had to go out and perform in the real world. And, then I would put on 40 or 60 pounds, and I used, I moved around the country, rebuilding movie theaters, and I used that as a way to, I just worked insane amount of hours. And, so that helped me lose the weight. Then it was the girlfriend, you know, it was up 70 pounds. And of course you guys don't get girlfriends. Most of them don't get, I wasn't that, confident enough or, smooth enough to get a girlfriend at 70 pounds overweight. And so I lost the weight, got the girlfriend. And in my relationship, I came in thin and I left fat. And I did that quite a few times. And so, I was probably 29 years old, and I was 260 pounds, and still food wasn't even on the radar as being a problem. But I was dating. I finally stopped drinking. Again, it ran its course. I never had to do any work to stop. You know, that's kind of why I don't qualify myself as an alcoholic, because I don't have to do any work to keep sobriety. It was, once it was done, it was like, it's done. And so, but then I noticed a lot of people around me were still drinking, and I had a problem with it. You know, I came from an alcoholic home. Looking back, I was dating a lot of alcoholic women. So I went to Al-Anon. I was again very heavy, and all of a sudden, it was great. I got to work the 12 steps, and I got into running marathons. And I didn't run, you know, again, I don't do anything halfway. I didn't run a 5K. I didn't run a 10K to see if I liked running. I just signed up for a marathon. And, you know, I ran a marathon, and then after that, it was like, well, what's next? Well, let's do the Ironman. So that's, you know, yeah. I remember I, because you have to qualify for those. You can't, but I didn't. I said, well, how can I do this if I just want to do this? And he goes, well, we have these volunteer spots where you pay $1,000 to do this. And I'd never ridden, I mean, I'd ridden a bike, but I'd never swam. I'd never, you know, ridden a bike any different. So I paid the $1,000, and in 8 months I did it. And, you know, but then what was next? You know, again, what was the next level to control this? Because I knew the weight was coming back. And actually, and just to note, I gained a pound. Because they doing the Ironman triathlon, they weigh you. Because for safety, they weigh you in the morning, and they weigh you when you're done. And I gained a pound. So, yeah. So, they have snacks. Come on, they have snacks along the way. Hey. So, really what was next? It was like, oh, I really, Mount Everest was literally on the, you know, cause I was eating so much food, cause I was training, I was eating so much food. It was like, what am I going to be able to do to keep eating this and not, cause I didn't want to give up the food, you know, and I was bored with exercise by this point. I really was. I was like, ugh. And so, I moved out to California, and, you know, the weight was off. I was looking good, you know. And all of a sudden, I worked in the entertainment business, and they have craft service. And, you know, that was very difficult. I could pass by it 5 or 6 times. But, you know, when you're working so long, you're tired. And just, you know, I would eat. And, you know, the weight started coming back on. And sure enough, you know, I was in Al-Anon. And at this point, White Flag Walter, I don't know, you know, White Flag Walter, that's what I call him. He brings in that big white flag, the surrender flag. And he was also in Al-Anon. We would go out afterwards, and he'd say, I'd be like, I'm training to do this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And I'm like, but I'm still gaining weight. And he's like, well, you just kind of sound like me. And he goes, there's a group for you, you know. So I'm like, I don't want to over you. Because at the time, you know, what I remember hearing, and again, I don't know if this is true, Al-Anon was the graduate program of the 12-step program. You know, and no one ever told me this, but in my mind, OA was like the elementary school. You know, come on, if I have to be told how to eat, you know, I'm going to be upset about it. I don't want to be told, because everybody knows how to eat, right? And so, you know, I ran my last marathon, and my best thinking was the night before, I had family, friends, everybody who loved me was there, and it was in Chicago, and I ate a large pizza in my room. And isolated in there. And, you know, the next day it was a really rough day. So I promised myself I'm going to go back and I'm going to get it right. And the diet lasted till about noon. And I came into OA, and quickly got Walter's a sponsor, worked the steps again, got the food program, no flour, no sugar. I knew those things were really just, once they got out of, you know, once I started eating them, I was out of hand. And, but and then I just cruise control. And, again, I worked through the steps, but I didn't know I had to continue. I had to continue to share. I had to continue to enlarge upon my spiritual life. And I, at this point, you know, I'm 169 pounds at that point. And, you know, I start, the jobs are coming in. The girlfriend who turned into the wife is there. I've got the food plan. I don't need any more. I'm still doing the graduate program. And sure enough, you know, the food started creeping in. And I was out the door all the way up to 280 pounds. And, you know, let's see, you know, my wife was afraid of me 5 years ago, 5+ years ago. My wife was afraid of me, and I'd hit my daughter, who was only 6 months old at the time, you know, and, you know, that was the best. I was crazy. I was just out of control. And my wife kept mentioning, maybe you go back to OA, you know. You know, she, at first, it was so funny because when I first started dating her, she's like, isn't this really restrictive? You know, isn't your food plan like really restrictive? I'm like, no, I need to do this. And then by the end, she's like, maybe you need to go back to OA. And you know what? When I was done, I'd eaten so much on the 4th of May, 2009. I'd eaten so, I'm a quantity eater. Still am a quantity eater. I'd eaten so much that I'd thrown up in my mouth at night, and I kind of knew I was just done. And I came back, and I asked for help, and I was willing to do what I was asked to do. I was ready to do the work. I wasn't ready in those 5 years. I really wasn't. My wife asked me several times, and I'm just like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to do the work. I was afraid to look in the dark corners and see what's really going on there, why I'm eating. And you know, after 30 days of abstinence, my sponsor came to me and goes, okay, so this all looks good. He goes, what have you eaten in the past 30 days that as soon as you put it on your plate, you wanted more of it? And I'm like, and I was just ready. I just, instead of thinking about it and was afraid of it, I just said, you know, it was potatoes and rice. And he goes, well, you know, the way I've been taught and shown in this program and the way I work it is those need to be on your abstinence list. Not a food plan list. It's an abstinence list. It's a yes or no. It's not, well, red light, yellow light. It's yes or no. And, I was really willing. I followed that direction. I've had more discussions about food with my sponsor. I don't do it often. When my weight goes out of a range, we talk about food. You know, the definition of abstinence is obtaining, maintaining a healthy body weight. And that is defined by a doctor. That range has been given to me, and that has been, I would say, enforced by my sponsor. You know, I weigh once a month, and that number goes into him. And when there are changes that need to be made, they get made, and by him. I don't make any food decisions because I make bad food decisions. I don't know how many times I went up and down. On my own, I'm going to make bad food choices. You know, unhealthy, bad, whatever you want to call them, food choices. So my sponsor and I, we sat down and we worked out a list of meals, literally a list of meals that were abstinent and clean. And that's what I eat. It's very simple, you know. And when I don't eat those, someone else tells me what I can eat. My wife is one. My coworkers are other people. I work in the entertainment industry, and all that food's there. But I was working up in the middle of Yosemite one time, and I was really afraid that they weren't going to take care of my food for me. In negotiating the rates and all that stuff, just didn't seem like food was going to be the top priority. And it was my top priority. This is the top piece of business, is my food and my sanity around food every day. You know, every day this is taken care of. And sure enough, I remember going to the group and saying, I got a problem. I'm going up here and I've got 3 days. And the guy's like, why don't you just take your food with you? And I'm like, wow, that's a great idea. I can do that for 3 days. You know, I can do that for 3 days. And sure enough, after 3 days, I just kept doing it because I didn't want to have to worry. I could actually do my job. You know, then I started working on the next job I worked on. They didn't stop for lunch. We were daylight dependent, which meant we worked from sunrise to sunset, and they didn't stop. They needed to get, everybody else was getting terrible old food brought to them. I got my fresh salad with me. And it was just like, they were looking at mine like, can we have some of yours? I'm like, no. No. You know? And so I can actually be of service. I can actually be of service to people at work. They're paying me to do a job, and I can actually do that job without obsessing about when's the next time the craft service guy, what's he going to come around with? That's not my food, you know? And so, thank you. Working through the program, working through the steps, you know, that was just the beginning. The food plan was just the beginning of what we started talking about. And we went through all the questions and did all that stuff. And I told all of it to him, you know, cause I had a sense. I didn't know. I had a sense. If I did not give it all away, I was going right back. And I had done it so many times. I had gone up and down, and I was just tired. You know, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm not looking to take any of your stuff. I just want more for me, you know? And, you know, I was done. And so, you know, working the steps, working with guys. You know, the gifts of the program is I don't have to be alone. You know, one of the things that I do for myself is when we stand up and pray at the end of meetings and we all hold hands and we all look around. I used to look at the ground. I used to look down and pray and solemn. Now I look at you guys because I never, ever, ever wanted to come to this room. I never wanted to be part of Overeaters Anonymous, you know, but now you're at times I still don't. I still don't. But most of the time I can look at you guys and say that you're part of my tribe. Some of the guys that are doing, and you're all doing the best you can. You're absolutely doing. Some people, the weight gain doesn't work as fast, but not one of us sits here and say we still want to be crazy with food. Doesn't matter what size body we're in. We don't want to be crazy with, and that's the gift, a new perspective of my whole life, you know. I used to sit and judge the speakers. Now I actually can kind of listen to them. It's slowly, but I can actually listen to them. You know, I mean, you could say I'm Mr. Contrary. I mean, you know, I say, well, I don't do that. I don't do, you know, but it's much less. The voices are so much smaller, you know, and as the road has narrowed a little bit, you know, one of the things that I don't need anymore was, my sponsor was like, do anything, but don't pick up the food. You can practice any one of your other, I would chew gum, drink Diet Coke. I mean, I couldn't feel a feeling, you know, at that time. But you know what? I'm now starting to learn to. I gave up gum over a year ago, you know, and I would chew 6 packs of gum in a day. I mean, my jaw would hurt. It cracked. People would hear it cracking and they'd be like, what are you doing? Why are you still chewing gum? I don't, you know. I mean, I just couldn't be present for what now was, you know, because what was so wrong with now? You know, I've actually, you know, switched to decaf coffee. Because again, why do I have to run, you know, what's so wrong with right now? What's wrong with being tired? Why do I need to change the way I feel all the time? You know, and that's what food did. You know, food instantly changed. I didn't seem to cross that line or have physical manifestations of my disease until I got to college. But man, instantly changing my reality, food did it. As soon as I took that bread or that sugar or whatever it was, instantly, okay, life is good, you know. But you know what? What does it? And it's a moral. It's the 12 steps, you know. What food did quickly, the 12 steps does slowly. It's finding a spiritual life, finding somebody that's always going to be there for you. Because food always was there for you too, it really was. But you know what? Your higher power, my higher power, our higher power, us as a tribe, we'll never let each other down. You know, people look at my food. People look, and again, I tell you, I'm a bulk eater. People look at my food and they say, there is no way that you're down 96 pounds and you eat that salad. They do. They've looked at me in the face and they've called me a liar. And that's okay. But that's because you guys have authored that food. You said that's okay and I don't have to worry about it up here. Once it's been checked off, I don't have to obsess about it. The decision's been made. This is it. And you know what? If I'm hungry, because I eat 5 times a day, if I'm hungry, there is something else going on. And then I need to connect with you. And you're all there for me. You're all there to carry me along. Joe C., which I haven't seen him in a while. You know what? I would text him and say, listen, I'm hungry and I've still got 2 hours till lunch. You know what he'd do? He'd send me a picture of a donut. You know? He'd send me a picture of a donut or a cake or something like that. But you know what? That's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens is you laugh a little bit. You laugh, you chuckle, and you know what? You're not in yourself some more. You've reached out, you've asked for help. You might not be the way you thought your help would come back, but you know what? I did not feel hungry after those, and I would just laugh at him and, you know, whatever. You know, send him a crude text back that I won't repeat. But you know what? I wasn't alone, and I never have to be alone, and you guys never have to be alone, you know? And that's the spiritual awakening. That's, you know, what food did for me quickly, this does for me slowly, and as long as I maintain it on a day in and day out basis. Top piece of business every day is maintaining my connection with you and my higher power. So thank you very much.